highlights it even more.
Why are y'all talking about movies?
Man boobs. He's recording.
Yeah, man boobs.
Man boobs. Man boobs.
Bangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
This is Walter Simonson. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
You ever notice that all the prices end in 9? Damn, that's eerie.
This is a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, episode 43. We are found at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. This is your host, Mark. And with me are the usual suspects, and I'm starting to run out of puns to use on you two knuckleheads.
Yeah, I mean,
but you know,
that dynamic duo, the undynamic duo,
the Rick and Daryl of the show, maybe
Rick and Daryl.
I don't know.
Hey, that's a lot of credit.
That might be too much credit.
You'd be Robert Kirkman, though, I guess.
Well, yeah, I guess I kind of look like him a little bit when I had the beard going.
Robert Kirkman's not so bad.
No,
I mean, you created Rick and Daryl. It's got to be better.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we have
Matt the Electric Monkey,
Biscuit T. Frank.
It's all dramatic when we introduce. So we're hanging out. We're in Texas. In Texas, we grill a lot, and the three of us get together now and then and just grill some food up. We did that today.
Heck yeah.
My wife's birthday was this week, and so we celebrated that a little bit. And
I had a burger, and these guys enjoyed the sausage.
I enjoyed the buns.
Sausage jokes, huh, already. But that's what we do in Texas. I mean, people think that, you know, they have these stereotypes about Texans, that we wear cowboy hats, ride horses, and grill food all the time. And we don't wear a lot of cowboy hats, at least some of us, and we don't
ride horses. I never rode a damn horse.
But we do grill food a lot. People come to Texas want to eat barbecue. Well, where do you eat barbecue? Nowhere, because we make our own.
Heck yeah, dude.
So, like, when you go to, like, China, do you, like, where's the Chinese food place at?
I know, right? Yeah.
That's different, though, I think, because that's more, because they're so ingrained in their culture.
Yeah.
Which you would think it is here, and are good places to get barbecue here, but it's not quite what people think.
But you know, as much as I love Texas, if I go up to visit family up towards Kansas City and Missouri, I'd probably go and try out some KC barbecue.
Don't even bring Kansas City barbecue onto a Texas podcast.
Heck no,
nah, dude, that's all in the family.
That's blasphemy, man.
Because the Texas Trail led all the way up to there.
Before
so.
Chipotle closed, I made some Kansas City barbecue in the toilet.
I bet you did. And after eating those chimichangas when you saw Deadpool.
Oh my god, yes. Do not remind me of what chimichangas did to my
body. As we record, I still haven't seen Deadpool. I'm probably the only nerd geek out there who hasn't seen it yet. But, you know, life's busy. Hopefully, eventually, I'll get around to it. You know,
DVD. Red box rental.
I'll download it illegally.
Don't tell anybody. Quiet.
So we're talking today. There's not a lot going on. It's been kind of slow. So we kind of came up with some things for the show this week. And it's more of an editorial style show, I would guess you would say. We're a week away from the Oscars, and not that we're big Oscar guys. I kind of watch them every year just as a movie fan, and I kind of don't pay attention to half of it because the Oscars are kind of boring. You know?
They're crap.
I watch it for certain rewards and certain people. I want to see if they want to win. I did watch The Revenant this week, finally.
I saw that.
It was a little long. It's a good film, but a lot of wilderness shots, and it's like, okay, really, do I need a 20-second shot of the snow? It's like, cut some of this back. It's a revenge flick. It could have been told in an hour and 45 minutes. You know, but yet it's dragged over 2.5 hours. Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hardy are both excellent in it. It's kind of funny, though. Leo, who's been so good in so many things he's done, hardly speaks in this film. He's probably going to win an Oscar. Ain't that the way it goes? Because they're going to kind of give it to him for his body of work, you know?
Yeah.
Because he seems to be the front runner. And Tom Hardy is so good in it. He deserves the Oscar for it. And even though I'm partial to Stallone winning, I really want Stallone to win for Creed because I just want him to win for Rocky, playing that character all these years. But Tom Hardy's so good in this, it's going to be hard for Stallone to jump him, I think, on an Oscar level. Even though Stallone has won some awards, I don't know. In my mind, I think Hardy's easily the winner of Best Supporting Actor after seeing both those performances.
Well, I haven't seen either one, so
he's a jerk in the film, that's for sure. But he's a good jerk as far as his acting. So this brings us to our conversation right now to start off the show, and that is a movie that we raved about last year. Was borderline our movie of the year in our Jedi Awards. If we weren't such Star Wars nerds, it probably would have won. And that is Mad Max Fury Road. It's been a year later, well, almost a year. It's nominated for 10 Oscars, which is unheard of for a genre-type flick. And so we wanted to revisit it a little bit and talk about its honest-to-God chances at the Oscars. And we all know that it's probably not going to win Best Picture because genre films so very rarely do. Mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King won, of course, and that's kind of a genre-based film. And a lot of people believe that that was given the award because of the body of work of those three films.
Like the combined total.
Exactly. And as you revisit Mad Max Fury Road a year later, I've watched it a few times now on Blu-ray since I got it, and people dismiss it. We rave about how it was one of the greatest action films we've ever seen, but now that it got nominated for an Oscar, I went back and rewatched it, and it has a surprisingly strong narrative throughout it. It's a road chase movie for sure, but it's also a very focused road chase movie. With really intriguing characters throughout it that you want to go on this road movie with. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is like when they first announced it, I had no interest in that movie in it whatsoever. I mean,
Because you're a fan of the originals and you just didn't feel it needed to be done?
Well, then I just didn't feel like we needed another one. But then the first trailer did nothing for me. But when that second trailer hit, and you had that big chase going and those guys swaying back and forth and you got to see the drums on that rig.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, that looks badass.
Yeah, well, man.
Then you go to the movie and you're like, holy shit, all the good scenes weren't just in that trailer.
No.
They were throughout the whole entire movie.
Well, let's look at what it's nominated for, okay? Best Achievement in Production Design. This is one I think it has a true chance of winning because
all natural effects.
They built all these cars. There is some CGI in it, obviously the sandstorm and some of that. But the fact that they filmed all this on sets in Australia, and he built everything, practical stunt work. A lot of those stuntmen were really used flying on the things above the cars,
the vehicles that they created.
This is one award I think it has a true chance of winning. Best Achievement in Visual Effects, possible.
But
I have a
feeling
Star Wars or The Revenant's going to win that.
Yeah.
Even though The Revenant's kind of just one scene with the bear, I think Star Wars may get this just for Industrial Light Magic is so amazing with what they do. And visual effects and, you know, I don't know. This is one that's interesting is Best Achievement in Sound Editing. The sound in Mad Max, when you saw it in theaters, it was just like,
oh my gosh.
Holy and the fact that this guy who the nominees are a guy named Mark Mangini and David White had to sit into a room and edit all that sound together and make it an experience because part of a film experience is the sound. And we just did an episode on music and movies a couple of episodes ago. And sound is so important to the experience of a film. And it takes you into a scene. It pulls you in. It makes you emotional. And the sound throughout Mad Max is excellent.
Because let's be honest, an action scene without the music just isn't the same as getting... It doesn't get your pulse racing and get you into it.
Mm-mm. It's also nominated for sound mixing, kind of the same. That's interesting how Oscars have sound mixing and sound editing. I mean...
No,
I get... You know...
They're two separate things.
Separate, but in the same. It's,
nah.
It's a real borderline award, yeah, nah. I think.
Just like the people that sit there and like hit the rocks together and smack shoes together and beat some leather for the sound effects. That's a whole nother thing.
These two kind of go hand in hand. It's nominated for Best Achievement in Costume Design and Best Achievement in Makeup and Hairstyling. I guess the hairstyle and makeup goes with the War Boys and look of Morton Joe and the mutants and all that, and their whole design and how they look, and the same with the costumes and stuff. Possible it could win something like that. I don't know. I know the Revenant's. I think Revenant's up for everything. I'm just guessing that, that it's probably up for it. And but interesting that some of these awards that a genre film like Mad Max was nominated for, film editing and cinematography. Both of these awards is nominated for. Cinematography again goes for production design. It could be the cinematography and the way it's filmed in Australia is excellent. I think in Mad Max, but having just watched The Revenant, even I would give The Revenant the cinematography award. Even though I thought the wilderness shots were ridiculous, I'm like, okay, 45 seconds of looking at snow. Okay, where's Leo at? You know, but it was excellent cinematography. And film editing, obviously. I mean, what George Miller and those guys did to put... And they filmed Fury Road over like a year period. And then you go together and you edit it all together to film it and to make it look right and put it together in this in the action masterpiece that we got. Okay? And then George Miller, of course, is nominated for directing for Mad Max. And this is one of those nominees he probably won't win. You know, a lot of people think the guy who did The Revenant, I can't think of his name, is probably going to win this. But might be a career nominee for George Miller for doing the Mad Max films. And, of course, nominated for Best Picture, as we talked about. We know it's not going to win. I mean, right?
Right, pretty much.
But in a perfect world, if people like us that do podcasts and websites and stuff were to pick the Oscars, wouldn't it be cool to have movies like Mad Max, Fury Road win Oscars?
I would like that.
Yeah. You know? And
make that milestone for genre films.
Yeah. I mean, The Dark Knight was nominated in 2008, and it, of course, didn't win, but, you know.
But, I mean, well, you think about this. Every year it's the same group of people that get to decide who's nominated, who wins.
Well, to be fair, the Academy, and I'm not even getting into the black thing on this show. We're not even getting into that. The Academy has done a better job of trying to reach out and get more younger voters, younger writers and stuff. And it's getting better, and that's why we're getting movies like Mad Max or Inception a couple years ago nominated. Because they're starting to realize that science fiction films can be very good and deserve, and they used to be ignored completely by the Oscars.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I give the Academy credit for trying, but you're absolutely right, Frank. Go ahead with what you were saying.
You know, and that's why, you know, like, I've had a discontent for the Oscars for so many years, so many good performances by actors that just because of their background of what they used to do, they get totally snubbed or whatever from what they have accomplished in a movie at this time. It's like, judge that person on what they performed right now, not what they've done before. Because let's be honest, some great actors have done some really crappy movies after they won some Oscars. James and you're like, wow, Franco. and they won an Oscar for that.
Did Franco win an Oscar?
You know?
I don't know.
He may have.
So
John C. Reilly.
I'll be honest.
Yeah. Boogie Nights.
I'll be honest. The Dallas Buyers Club was like spot on Oscar nominating, winning. Down the road was the only time I ever saw where, like, everybody who won and what won deserved to win. You know, and there was, like, no mistaking it. I watched that movie, and it's such a great movie, and the performances...
What about Forrest Gump, man?
Well, come on, it's Tom Hanks.
It deserves
Tom Hanks has to back out of the Oscars just so somebody else can win.
It's true.
Yeah, he's probably one of our greatest actors.
You know, just be honest. And don't even get me started on Tom Hanks. That is my favorite actor of all time. I'm sorry.
Well,
straight up, my favorite.
Yeah, you know, no, he is one of the best.
You know, I mean, I haven't seen every movie he's done, but he's still, like, one of my favorite. He has a movie, that's nominated. I want to watch that.
The Spielberg film, Bridge of Spies. I haven't seen that yet.
I wanted to see it at the theater, but my theater was
being remodeled. On Vudu now.
They were remodeling our theater, and they didn't put it out back when it came out.
Oh, wow.
They were, like, half the theater was shut down so they could put in the fancy seating that reclines and everything. So... And I wasn't going to drive 20 miles, to the nearest theater. I was like, forget it. I'll wait for DVD.
Yeah, you know, that's probably... I haven't seen him, but I'm sure it's a great film with Spielberg. I mean,
right.
Hank's one of our greatest actors. Spielberg's one of our greatest directors. I mean, very little do they touch that's not entertaining in some way.
Exactly.
So, back to Mad Max. The Mad Max series as a whole, as we revisited here in 2016 after it came out last year, George Miller's talking about doing more films. Where do you go from here? I mean, there's, it seems like at the end of Fury Road, whether it's a sequel, a side story, George Miller himself has said, I don't know what it was. It's just another story of Mad Max. And there's been these diehard fans that complain about the continuity of it. But I think Mad Max is something you just take it as like a James Bond-style adventure, even though they have, let's rephrase this, they have recreated a continuity with the reboot of James Bond in the Daniel Craig films. But Bond used to not be like that. And I think you kind of take Mad Max as just this wasteland warrior that has these multiple adventures, and there doesn't necessarily need to be a continuity, I think. I think that you can go from here, and when we if he does a film in a couple of years
we could see Max
somewhere else, you know? Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Furiosa reappear because he was such a popular character.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so much you can do in this world that George Miller's created back to the Mad Max original film with Mel Gibson. which is such a different film than this from where we were there in 1979 to now when he filmed it in a very low budget. It was very much cutthroat filming. They would film at night and use lights to light up the roads, and like if the police came by, they'd have to hide real quick. It was really funny because they didn't have a lot of permits to film the original Mad Max. And where would Mad Max go from here? What else do we want to see? I mean,
they sealed off the entrance to basically that enclave. So
it's not like they can't dig it out.
But Max, you see him walking away.
Well, he has another
just take
adventure.
On Bullet Town by himself, or what's going on?
No, it doesn't mean he doesn't travel off somewhere else.
All right. Or what if... I can't think of the people's names from the Road Warrior, the ones he helps out.
Mm-hmm.
With the guy from Logan's Run.
Right.
What if he revisited them? That'd be an interesting plot point in a sequel. Where Mad Max
police officer.
Mad Max returns to that town, and they're in trouble again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it'd be an indirect sequel to the Road Warrior, you know, where he goes back there. Or you could always bring back, what's Tina Turner's character's name? Auntie.
Yeah.
Something like that, right? Yeah. You know, it, maybe revisit some characters that have appeared in Mad Max before. You can bring back Tina Turner, and she's like 90 years old and like still has
to
have
Thunderdome. No. You already know
two
play
people
that.
Enter.
Well, Thunderdome is probably my most disappointing Mad Max film because it starts out so good, and then it
does.
Just, the second half of the film, it just completely falls apart.
Run Bada Town?
Master Blaster.
Yes.
So, any other thoughts on Mad Max getting nominated for Oscar? It's cool for us fans that they got these kind of nominations. And, you know, I've talked to a few people that haven't seen it yet, and they dismiss it as just a ridiculous action movie. I'm trying to tell them it has a very strong narrative. It's better than you think it is. It'll blow you away when you see it. And, you know, and it's not going to win an Oscar, but...
It'll win a Oscar.
Oh, yeah, it'll win an Oscar. It's not going to win Best Picture.
Well, no. But the fact that it even got a nod...
It's a win-win for those
And it films. Didn't have to go into the best comedy... To get that nod.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's our thoughts on Mad Max Fury Road and its Oscar nominations. We wanted to revisit that film a little bit. And so Deadpool, we talked about last week. It's still in theaters. And, of course, making a big thing about it being rated R and making the money that's made.
Mm-hmm.
And we were texting each other back and forth and talking about there's reports out there that Fox wants to make Wolverine 3 rated R. And... There's been some directors like James Gunn, director of Guardians of the Galaxy, and a couple other guys have come out and said, slow down, studios. Just because one rated R movie is successful and it worked doesn't mean you need to start doing it with every film. And they make some good points because be very mindful of Deadpool's success. Came out at the right time. Everyone was Star Wars burnout. There was nothing to see in January.
Mm-hmm.
It proves that superhero overdrive is not done with yet. People still want to go see their superhero films.
Yep.
It was an adult comic book film, which is something we hadn't had in quite some time.
Since The Watchmen.
And so I think adults wanted to go see it. It has Ryan Reynolds in it, which helps get the ladies in the theater.
Oh, yeah.
And
Ryan Reynolds' butt.
And overall, solid reviews. You know, it's still tracking at 90% on... Well, actually, I think it's dropped down to like 85% on Rotten Tomatoes. So it's still doing very well in the tracking. And so... There's a lot of factors to it. And I haven't seen it yet. And I know you guys have. And from everything I've heard, overall, it's a pretty good film.
Yeah.
But that being said, Wolverine. You've done two Wolverine films so far. We've had him appear in the X-Men films. Obviously, X-Men Origins Wolverine was a disaster. Thank God Days of Future Past wiped out the continuity. And then the Wolverine was much better. It had a convoluted ending. And it's a little bit darker. You watch the director's cut on the Blu-ray with the whole ninja fight scene that they cut out of the film was a little bloodier.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still not quite heavy-duty R. But to me, if they make Wolverine 3 rated R, I'm not going to complain about it. But why?
What
you
kind
have to
of rated
do it for
R?
The right reasons.
Yeah.
Because
we need to see Wolverine get it on with Gene.
I don't need to see
Wolverine's wingus. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say.
I want to see Gene.
You got to see his butt in Days of Future Past. Ain't that good enough for you?
But it's like there was no Gene, man. It wasn't the right woman.
I just think that Wolverine to me is Marvel's answer in style to a Batman character.
Okay.
He's darker and he's edgier, but you can do him without making rated R. You know, you can do an adult Batman film as Christopher Nolan.
I don't want a vulgar, dirty mouth Wolverine.
No, and Wolverine's never been like that in the comics. He might occasionally drop shit or damn or something like that.
Oh,
Wow. And he is a violent character because of his claws, but he's never been drawn or written overly violent. I mean, I'm sure there's some blood in the comics at times. There's blood in the Wolverine movies.
Yeah.
But you don't need Wolverine slashing someone's throat and the guy holding his jugular and it's squirting out everywhere.
Or heads flying left and right.
Or heads flying. I mean,
decapitates him, kicks his head off, uses it as a sword.
Right. I'm surprised Wolverine got away with his sword going through him. You know, that was pretty violent for the Wolverine film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and which I still, that scene bugs me in the movie because swords shouldn't go through Wolverine. He's made of adamantium.
Wait, yeah. Depends on where it went through.
His sternum, wasn't it?
But it can go, if it's down the center, yeah. But if it was just off in between the rib cages, then that's possible.
Yeah,
between the rib cages. But solid bone, no.
So
the sword would shatter.
Your thoughts, Wolverine 3 rated R, I mean...
It depends on why. If they had a little blood, what's a good movie to where they had a little bit of blood, but it wasn't excessive?
Put it like this, not rated R for the same reasons Deadpool got rated R.
Good point.
Yeah. Kind of like that. Like, maybe there's some blood, but not like what you're talking about, where someone's throat gets slit open and stuff's just spraying, like you accidentally punctured your aerosol
can. Yeah,
we
don't need the cheesy, old martial art type blood shooting all over the place.
But if there's like actual blood, like X-Men 3, X-Men United, Wolverine going through the forest taking out guys, and they actually show blood instead of nothing, then, and that's why it's rated R, along with a couple more, shit, damn, whatever. Right. Then and maybe a Jean love scene. Rogue love. Hey, he's the only one that can get 2 minutes into Rogue and survive. So
basically, like you, only 2 minutes is you're good.
Yeah.
There's another report that if they lead into Deadpool 2 having Cable in it, and they which leads to an X-Force movie eventually, of X-Force being rated R. X-Force, I can see as rated R because they are hired to kill. That's what X-Force does,
mm-hmm.
And it's a little darker film. And the one thing about this is it's all on Fox. Fox owns these characters, and it's completely different than Marvel Studios.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Marvel Studios ever making a rated R film.
No.
And even if they bring Blade back, which they own the rights to now, it's gonna. I just firmly believe they'll do a PG-13 Blade film if they ever bring him into the Marvel Universe. They'll do Blade on Netflix.
Or you have Tony Stark just blowing people's heads off with his repulsor blasts.
That would be cool.
Yeah, and then Hulk, I would love that.
The Hulk just rips people in half.
Oh, right down the middle.
Just so like if we made
one leg and the other leg and just like make a wish with the Iron Man.
Yeah.
And it's funny that
him and Thor. Make a wish.
It's funny the comments people like the Deadpool's the first rated R comic film, and we posted a meme on TrustMeOnJedi.com's Facebook about the Crow sitting there going, really, first rated R film? That's cute.
I know, right?
People forgot about the Crow in 1994 was rated R.
And it wasn't Blade also?
Blade was rated R, but even it came out after the Crow.
And Watchmen, you can't.
That's what I'm saying. I think there's our other. But I'm just saying there are other rated R.
Watchmen's still a comic book film.
Yeah.
Watchmen was released as a miniseries before as a graphic novel.
That's right.
So originally it was a comic. So yeah, it just is known over the years as a graphic novel because.
If Wolverine 3 was like Watchmen, would that be acceptable? Because that was just a little bit excessive blood, a little excessive violence.
Right.
And some nudity.
Well, blue penis.
I would like to see a Wolverine movie done in the style of a Sin City.
Yeah, maybe.
The way it was Sin City shot, but with the Wolverine character.
I think if Wolverine 3 goes rated R, it needs to be, like y'all said, mild rated R. Almost could have passed for PG-13, but they didn't want to cut out some blood and stuff.
Yeah.
But we can do it without nudity, and we can do it without a lot of vulgarity cussing.
Or you do like you did with the Wolverine. You do a PG-13 cut for theaters, then do the director's cut on Blu-ray, and it wasn't so much more violent. It's just that one scene they cut out of the film, which is the coolest scene in the movie where he fights the ninjas. And they left it out. So we'll see what Fox does with the Wolverine 3, or whatever they call it. It starts filming soon, so we'll start knowing more soon. And up next on the Rebel Radio Podcast, we're going to talk about this week's mid-season premiere of The Walking Dead. And we're also going to talk to Daredevil Season 2 trailer and a little bit more before this show is over. But not yet. Don't go anywhere on the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Accelerate to attack speed.
I think I just... Yeah. I just had an idea.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, snooch to the nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it.
Hey, it's Alfonso Berry. Listen to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
How would you feel about making a change?
We fear change.
This This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. And do us a favor. Make sure you go on iTunes and hit the iTunes link on the Rebel Radio page at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Take a minute to rate us, subscribe to us, and maybe even leave a quick review. It helps us out. We really appreciate us. We appreciate you guys. And you can also follow us on Stitcher for Android users. We are also on the Tangent Bound PC Network now and the Houston Nerdcasting Network. So you can find the show a lot of places. And we thank you all for that. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at TMIAJ also. So we've been talking Mad Max Fury Road and Wolverine 3. And we're going to get into some other things here in a moment. We've got some trailers to talk about. But before we go any further, The Walking Dead is back. Bum Frank T. Biscuit over here didn't finish watching it yet. But man, this episode, the mid-season premiere, and if you haven't watched it by now, it's been a week. Obviously, we're going in spoiler territory.
Oh, no, guys, no spoilers.
Just get over it. And it's definitely top five episode of all time. I think that people are like, every week it seems like, oh, that was the best episode ever. But, you know, this truly was, I think, one of the top five episodes. I know you watched the Matt, too. Mm-hmm. They take it right out of the comic books. There's a few slight, subtle changes from the comics that happen. But it's... It starts out with a bang, literally, Matt, right?
Pretty much.
We get Daryl approached by Negan's men. We all know Negan's coming. If you follow the internet, you know he's coming. He's a big bad guy that's introduced in issue 100 of the comic book, and he's a bad motherfucker. And
we just got trolled, though.
What'd you say?
We got trolled.
We don't cuss a lot on Rebel Radio, but there's no other way to describe Negan. When he arrives, this guy don't fuck around, okay? And so Negan's men show up, and they... have Daryl and Abraham and Sasha there, and they're going to kill one of them, basically. They play around little games like, oh, I'm not going to kill one of you. Oh, yeah, I am. Then, boom, Daryl, man, because that guy took him to the back to search his truck, took the guy out, finds a rocket launcher in the back of that tanker, and shoots the shit out of him.
I'm like, dang, dude.
And, so it's probably going to piss Negan off. And that's... I'm not going to spoil it as far as what happens in the comic books, because Daryl's not in the comics. He's created for the show. But Daryl fans, you might want to get those tissues ready for the end of the season, because I have the feeling that Norman Reedus is on his way out of this show, because he ain't going to be happy about what Negan ain't going to be happy about what Daryl did to his men. And I think the writing's on the wall.
But wait, who's going to tell him that Daryl did it? That corpse that was burning there?
When Andrew Lincoln, the actor who plays Rick, read the script, he said it's the first script he ever threw down, was pissed off, and not happy about it. That says a lot. Andrew Lincoln has said that in interviews. The finale is filming right now. I only know that because I read an interview with director Greg Nicotero, who directed the mid-season premiere, mm-hmm. and is directing the finale. And they're going to be wrapping next week. Everyone fully expects Negan not to appear until the season finale, because there are people that live in the Atlanta area where it's filmed, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan has not been on set yet, so he's probably appearing in the final episode of the season. So that's enough Negan talk. We won't want to go any further, because I have read the books up to this point, and I don't want to spoil anything that happens, even though the show is different. So after we get out of the way of Negan and stuff, Daryl and them keep heading to Alexandria. In Alexandria, we go where we're left off, where they're trying to put the Walker blood on him, and they walk through the town trying to escape, and it goes bad quick. Right, Matt?
It does.
We see, I can't think of her name, but her two boys.
Yeah, the
Sam
girl that kept getting beat.
Yeah, Sam and the other... or their older boy, he starts freaking out in the middle of it because he sees a young child that's a zombie, and he just loses it. Walking Dead goes somewhere they hadn't gone before. We've seen children die in the show, don't get me wrong, but not in this way. It was graphically the most violent thing I've seen on the show yet, as Sam is ripped apart by zombies.
Yeah.
And it's pretty brutal, and the mom freaks out, and in her freaking out, she gets eaten too, and Rick's face is just like... distraught. He's not sure what's going on, and this is HBO level stuff they did here. There's been a lot of already people, parent groups complaining, how do they get away with that on television? Well, you know what, don't watch AMC if you don't like it. Mm-hmm. But that's the way we're going.
You can't watch the show.
We're going that direction with television. You watch slowly. Networks like FX and AMC are starting to get away with more of what HBO does. You know, you're not necessarily the nudity, but the violence is on TV now. Mm-hmm. Just don't let your kids watch it. And it was a brutal, heartbreaking scene. And then, of course, the kid raises the gun and to fire at Rick and Carl and Michonne, because he wants to blame them for what just happened to his mother and his brother. But Michonne comes behind him and slices him. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have an adult killing a child. This is another, in 2 minutes of Walking Dead, we're just like, wow, we got like a...
boom, boom, boom.
Boom, 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 and the gun goes off, and of course, we get a famous comic book moment, which was almost right out of the comics, where in the crossfire, bam, right through Carl's eye. And that was taken directly panel by panel from the comics, and the new showrunner, Scott Gimple, who came on the show a couple years ago, has said you're going to start seeing more iconic comic book moments. It's just getting to them might be a little different than what they were in the comics, you know? Mm-hmm. It was something else to see. And I think we were talking in our pre-show prep, Frank, you were talking about, because you did watch the first 20 minutes.
Up to that point. Haven't
finished it yet. That you felt it happened a little too fast, but you have to go back, I think, to the beginning of the season, okay? Mm-hmm. The whole idea of the first 8 episodes, it all kind of took place over a day and a half, you know? We had all these multiple storylines going on, and the fact is that all throughout season 5, once they got to Alexandria after Terminus, they felt safe here. And I think the whole idea is, I think if you were to watch these episodes in order, and without commercials when they hit Netflix or whatever, I think, yes, it seems fast, but if you watch them all in order, it's just showing that the world is still as chaotic as it was, that they weren't safe.
I mean, the wolf, he, you know, the wolf guy, he admitted that they were watching him for a long time.
Exactly. That this world, that I think it's trying to show that they're never going to be safe in this world. There's no happy ending to The Walking Dead. There's just not. I'll be shocked when Kirkman ends the book one day or AMC ends the television show if it ends happily. Anyone who's watching The Walking Dead looking for a happy ending in a few years from now is probably going to be sorely disappointed. Because it's just, it just can't end happy. You know, I mean, it's a horrible, horrible world now. Everything is gone. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Kirkman gives a happy ending, but he's thrown hints before in interviews that this isn't going to end happy, you know? And it's a dark world. And as the episode continues to get better from there, Rick goes apeshit, freaking Rick crazy, starts taking out zombies left and right.
Reminded me of season 3 whenever he's in the prison.
Yeah, it encourages the other members of his team and the Alexandrians that are left to help him, and they clear the town.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Daryl shows up, and Abraham just in time with their machine guns, and just
Glenn.
Yeah. Glenn almost gets eaten again, and they I can't say anything about Glenn because people have read the comics. If they go that route, they keep teasing Glenn dying. Well, you know what? The comics are on like issue 150. If you're reading the comics, you haven't read up to issue 100, then deal with it. There's gonna be a little spoiler in the comics. Glenn dies, okay?
Oh, does he?
He dies by Negan's hand. So a lot of people think that's coming in the show, and that's why I think they're going to pull the whole rope-a-dope, and I don't think they're going to kill Glenn, because they keep going so fast with, like, they keep teasing that he's going to die, mm-hmm. the trash can thing and everything, and he didn't die. So I think in the show, I almost call it a movie, the show, I think he's going to stay alive, and I think they're going to, Daryl fans, I'm sorry, you know, but I think Norman is out the door. I just have a feeling. You know,
and besides, you know, zombies wouldn't need an Asian guy. I mean, no, they're just going to be hungry 2 hours later.
It could be, you know, Abraham. And there's a lot of things that are going to happen in the books. You know, they're introducing the character of Jesus. We might get the character of Ezekiel by the end of the season. A couple other guys that show up throughout this time frame in the comics. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. We're recording on Sunday afternoon. Tonight is a new episode. So by the time y'all hear this, unfortunately, second episode will have aired. It looks really cool. Looks like Rick and Daryl are going out together for the first time in a while.
Oh, yeah. They run into something, it looks like.
We'll see what happens. And I want to encourage Frank T. Biscuit here, who was texting. I've been kind of getting bored of The Walking Dead. Stay with it, man. I'm telling you, in the comics, when they get to Alexandria, it got slow. Like it did part of last season. It gets a little slow.
Yeah.
And then it picks back up with a bang. So stay with it, man. It's worth it, the ride it's going to go on. You know, and to see where they go from here.
Looks like they're making some progress.
I think this has been the best season so far. I really do.
Wait, you said that last season.
No, I thought last season was pretty good, but I really, truly think this is the best season.
Yeah, man. If something's going to go down, it's going to go on a supply run, and they went on a supply run in that trailer.
The amazing thing about The Walking Dead is that you get shows that are on television, like that air, and 3 or 4 seasons in, they kind of get a little slowed down. You kind of get a little... Like, you know, but The Walking Dead, to me, I think has gradually gotten better. I think, you know, it's maintained its quality, which is very important. And AMC plans on it running for quite a while. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we may get 10, 12 seasons out of this show.
You could get 20 seasons if you go with, you know, Carl growing up and his sister.
Right, man. It's funny, man, because the whole idea of The Walking Dead and the comics up to this point, it's all taking place over, like, 2 years, right?
Yeah.
But the show, it's 6 seasons in, and Carl's sprouted up into this teenager. Mm-hmm. It looks a little ridiculously older than he should.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think at a point they just need to introduce new characters and take out old characters.
And they do. I think they do a good job of that.
Kind of like pull, you know, Chicago Hope or ER or, you know, kind of switch out some doctors.
He's compared to The Walking Dead to Chicago. No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Well, talking about popular shows.
Rick's still alive in the comics.
Didn't he lose something, though?
He loses his hand in the comics.
Yeah, he loses his hand.
But he did that a long time ago.
Does he put a chainsaw on it?
No, the governor took out his hand, but Robert Kirkman has already said in the show that's not happening. He regretted doing the comics because he's like, man, you know how damn hard it is to write the comic now? And I have to remember that Rick only has one hand. he regrets doing that in the comic. So The Walking Dead Season 6 and mid-season premiere was easily, I think, I don't know what the best episode of The Walking Dead is yet, but this was definitely top 5. I'd have to revisit that eventually maybe and see which I think was the best episode. You know, I think the episode where Herschel dies is pretty strong. The prison thing, that was a pretty powerful episode.
Yeah.
You know, him being beheaded in front of everybody. And again, that's a change in the comic books. In the comic books, Tyrese is beheaded in front of the group.
Ah.
And Herschel dies in the firefight at the prison. He does die in that initial battle, but not like that, not in that horrible way. So The Walking Dead Season 6 continues. So, on to the next topic on Rebel Radio Podcast. Talk about proper. I don't know.
What?
Daredevil Season 2, man. We are about a month away. Oh, yeah.
I'm bored with that already. No, just kidding.
Today's February 20th.
Oh, come on. It's introducing one of my favorite comic book characters.
Today's February 21st. March 18th, it hits Netflix. Got a new trailer this week. And man, this trailer was badass.
I think I saw the wrong trailer. He's like, Punisher's like, I'm a better father than you, and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, this is a weird tactic for the Punisher. He's like, you know, he's going to go up to his enemies and be like, I'm a better father. My ideas are better.
I mean,
you're going to get us all killed. And I'm like, what
the hell did you watch?
Oh, wait, that was season two.
That was John Bernthal in season two Walking Dead. John Bernthal's playing the Punisher. Looks so cool in the role.
Yeah, he does.
Some people think he should be more bulked up, but I think he looks great. I love the line in the trailer, you're one bad day away from being me. God, it just looks so good. There's another trailer coming out later this week, and a lot of people believe it's going to be the Elektra side of things, because we know they're introducing Elektra in this season. And we're sitting here talking about The Walking Dead and how it's maintained its quality over the 6 seasons. But I haven't looked forward to a television show like this in a long time. Like, when The Walking Dead comes around, I look forward to the new season starting or whatever. But man, I'm like super fucking pumped for Daredevil.
Heck yeah.
I know you guys love... You guys are both huge Punisher fans. Give me your thoughts on this, guys.
Dude, I mean, I think this is a good... I like Thomas Jane as the Punisher, if you haven't seen it yet. There's an episode on YouTube called Dirty Laundry.
Yes, I've seen it.
Oh, man, it's... Have you seen it, Frank? Dirty Laundry?
Directed, no, I don't think I have.
Remember we talked about the Power Rangers short that came out? It's directed by the same guy. They put it together.
You have to see it, Frank. You'd love it.
When they announced him playing the part, I'm like, yeah, he works. He works.
He does work.
I didn't have a problem with Thomas Jane in the role, but we're talking...
James Bernthal, he looks like the...
John Bernthal.
He looks like the ex-military type.
Yeah.
And so he looks like, hey, this guy could be the Punisher, you know, in real life. And he's... I like how I've seen his crazy in films. I like his, like, violent crazy to where...
I like the comment. What was the comment he makes? He goes, when you put them down, they get back up. And when I put them down, they stay down.
Yeah.
I didn't like Fury at all. I just didn't like the movie. But him in the movie, that rage he has in him.
Yes. And that's why I like the Punisher character. It's like this one thing that, like... In the superhero comic books and everything, it's like, oh, I beat the bad guy. Then, you know, we'll go on to another bad guy. Then about, you know, after you got through 4 cycles, it's the same bad guy all over again because he got out. You know, his gang came and bust him out, or his crazy-ass girlfriend got him out of the psycho ward. And it's just like another story. And it's kind of like...
The Punisher says,
you're done.
I'm going to end it. I know that cycle.
Yeah, we're not, repeating. I'm done with you, you know?
That's right, man.
And I think that's why I like the Punisher character. It's not like you're going to... It's not the same crowd. You know, it's the same fight, but it's with somebody else. You're not going to see the same villain come around.
And just some of the imagery in the
Only
trailer.
Only a few.
Some of the imagery in the trailer, the skull print and everything, like he's getting ready to make his costume. It's really cool. Looks like Daredevil gets an upgraded kind of new costume in this, too, from any worry at the end of last season. And, I'm ready for March 18th. And the cool thing is, I'm taking off work that week, so that Friday morning I'm going to wake up and try to knock out a few episodes, you know. I'm hoping to. Not that kind of knockout.
Not that episode.
So any other thoughts on Daredevil Season 2? I know you guys are super stoked for it because y'all love the Punisher.
Oh, yeah.
And we all know that the Punisher and Daredevil don't see eye to eye at first, and eventually they end up working together.
I was going
to
let you know, I win. I'll probably binge watch it all before you guys because y'all have children. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, probably true. Mm-hmm. You know, so, well, good for you, punk.
And I'll spoil it all.
A couple more things to talk about here on the show before we finish up today. They officially announced two films did we talk about the episode last time? Did they announce Star Wars 8 started filming?
Yes.
They did. Yeah, we did talk about it. The Guardians of the Galaxy. That's the one they announced.
Yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is now filming, and Kurt Russell's in the film.
Looks good.
The movie
obviously,
just got cooler.
He's Star-Lord's father, obviously.
Probably playing Star-Lord's father. Yeah. You know, and
not Snake?
He's not Snake Plissken. But...
Where am I going to get Curtis?
I mean, we were all looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy 2 as it was. And now it's got Kurt Russell in it. It's like, you know, I would go see it just because he's in it.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Kurt Russell fan.
Me too.
People that know me know I still need to sit down and watch The Hateful Eight. I've always loved Kurt Russell over the years. He's just one of my favorite actors.
And come on, we all know his favorite movie is Overboard.
No.
Come on.
I prefer him as Wyatt Earp.
Wyatt Earp! You don't prefer Kevin Costner as Wyatt Earp?
No.
Oh.
No, I'll take Kurtz any day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then another film that's going to have a trailer soon. Man, is it just me? I have no interest at all in this Ghostbusters reboot. I just don't care.
No?
I mean, it has nothing to do with someone's like, oh, you just don't like women being in it. I'm like, no, it has nothing to do with that. I just don't give a rat's ass about this movie.
Do you give a rat's ass about women's basketball?
No.
What about women's soccer?
No.
I'm seeing a trend.
I see what you're doing.
No. I will 100% sit down and watch women's beach volleyball. So there.
You know, I accept the fact that we're in a reboot world. We get reboots and remakes and things like that. And some of them I enjoy. People have hated on me because I like the RoboCop remake. It doesn't mean I didn't like the original, but yeah. I didn't hate the remake. And I didn't have a high interest in it, don't get me wrong, but I went and saw it. I was like, I think it was a Saturday night, nothing to do. I took my son, we went and saw the RoboCop remake. You know, it was one of those. But I just cannot gauge interest at all in this Ghostbusters remake. And we'll report on it, we'll talk about it for the fans of TrustMeMagi.com because we know there are people that are interested in it. But I don't feel a buzz behind this. You know, I don't get it. I don't find any of the actresses that aren't funny. And then they put Chris Hemsworth in there as their secretary as like this... joke that this big guy is your secretary. I don't know. What do you guys feel on this? I know, Frank, you're kind of probably a bigger, a little bit bigger Ghostbusters.
How
fan
dare thou mock?
I like the first Ghostbusters. Yeah, the second one sucked. And I like the game though that came out.
Yeah, the game was kind of cool.
I took it kind of like as being the third movie.
We'll see. I mean, I'm not going to judge it too hard. So the trailer's coming out, I think, March something, a couple weeks.
I mean, speaking about that, you know, the rumor also of Goonies. I just don't see a modern-day Goonies working with...
No. There's some things...
With all the technology that's out nowadays and internet stuff, Goonies just doesn't fall in that realm. You know, just that kind of adventure.
And to bring our show full circle, you know, it's like when you come back 20 years later and do a film, like they did with Mad Max, you have to bring something really fresh and new to it. And really fresh and new doesn't mean switch out the males for females. Mm-hmm. Not that there's a problem with that, but, you know, like, I think it would have been cooler to see, like, the sons of the guys or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or the daughters, you know, like a younger group of people playing the part. Aren't these women all, like, in their 30s?
You know, if you had Bill Murray, you know, and Dan Aykroyd go back in there, and this is, like, their daughters or something.
Right.
Or they hire, you know, they're just replacing them, and they're kind of, like, passing the torch on. Mm-hmm. Like, they eventually took over... being the Ghostbusters, like, they kind of, like, just, like, oh, one retired, we hired another person, we retired, we hired another person, and, like, maybe Bill Murray or one of the guys is, like, the final original Ghostbuster, and he's kind of like, well, everybody's kind of gone on with their lives, it's time for me to step back and pass the final torch along. If it started off like that, maybe, but if it doesn't have any of those guys kind of, like, acknowledging that they were the original Ghostbusters, and this is just a complete reboot, then I'm, like, no interest in it whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see where this goes when it comes. I mean, I don't know. We'll judge when we see the trailer. Maybe it comes out okay. I don't know yet. But, you know, with movies that happened 20 years after the originals, like, Tron Legacy was okay, but it didn't need to be made. And, you know, how... many more of these old films are going to get reboots, remakes years later. You know, they're probably going to keep coming because this is where Hollywood's at
right now. And Hollywood has no original ideas.
Right, exactly. But you're right. They're running out of original ideas, and you still have some directors doing original ideas. So we'll see. You know, I just... Ghostbusters, I don't know. I mean, we just had a Point Break remake, and that...
Bombed.
That itched my ass in the wrong way, that's for sure, you know?
But what was cool is now Point Break has been showing up on, you know, HBO
and look at this, Encore. Right here on the computer desk. Point Break. $5 on Blu-ray, buddies.
You beat me.
The original.
I got it for $2 at Goodwill, but it was just the regular DVD.
Yeah.
I would have paid the extra $3 for Blu-ray.
Exactly, man. I saw that the other day. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to buy this, man. Walmart had a display up. I'm like, yeah, $5 for Point Break. You know, I'll upgrade that bad boy. I only had it on DVD. You know?
Yeah.
And so we'll see. Anything else? That's, man, we covered a lot for a show we kind of just threw together out of our noses.
Yeah, we're like, we're going to do X, Y, Z, and we're going to run with it.
Yeah, it's kind of slow. But
I have something to say. I'm a little disappointed. I heard that they were canceling Agent Carter.
Well, yes, I've heard this too. ABC hasn't confirmed it yet. But Haley Atwell has signed on for another ABC show. But Marvel Studios only had originally planned that as a one-season miniseries. But right. The ratings were so good that they got a season two.
Well, I'm like this. If they do cancel it, please cancel it with an actual ending. Don't just drop it.
Right.
I hate it when they just drop a series and you're just like, you're left with that final episode of like, and?
Right. No, I agree.
And that's when I will never revisit anything. I will never buy the DVD sets. I will never watch it on TV again.
Yeah.
And so therefore, your first season or your second season, if you're in your third season and you just drop a show, I will never revisit it. I will never watch it on TV unless I know it has a conclusion.
Unless it's Firefly, because Firefly was cool.
But they wrapped it up with the movie.
Right.
And, you know, so... And I honestly, even Firefly, I didn't feel like it just got dropped. You know, yeah, it did end, but it didn't have that...
It got dropped.
Yeah. Well, and they also did that with, you know...
There's been a lot of shows
that, you know...
List off a whole bunch of them that have done that.
And it's really disappointing.
ABC has been kind of mum. They haven't officially said anything. We're getting into March and April. You'll start getting the cancellations. They'll start becoming official as the February sweeps month is over and stuff like that. So, I agree. It'd be disappointing if it is canceled because I know it's got a lot of fans. I haven't actually watched it. I kept hearing that season one was going to hit Netflix, and I was like, going to watch it when it hits Netflix. It just hasn't yet. So I imagine it will soon, you know, since everything Marvel goes to Netflix. So we'll see. But you're right, Frank. You know, it's disappointing to see. Oh, real quick, before we do go, man, this week's Flash. Was that not incredible?
Oh, I'm still loving the Flash
so
much.
That show is so awesome. Who's the man in the metal mask?
Yeah.
Dude.
The real Jay Garrick from Earth 2?
Yeah.
And though Jay Garrick on Earth is an imposter of some sort.
But there's another doppelganger, though, remember?
But maybe he's a...
Remember, maybe it's Earth 3.
It's an Earth 3.
There could be an Earth 3, you know?
Yeah.
That would blow, you know, the whole John Carter thing out of the ocean.
So we don't know.
Yeah.
You know? But man, this show's so awesome. I mean, like, I still watch Arrow because I'm invested in it, but I don't look forward to Arrow like I do The Flash.
Yeah. Hey, but, you know, and the good thing is, if you think of it like this, some people are like, well, why didn't they get this guy to play The Flash in the Batman versus, you know, in the upcoming... Justice League movies. Maybe that's an Earth 4. Who knows?
Maybe
they're Earth 4. So this is like multiple dimensions, multiple flashes, zooms, whatever, speedsters. And they're all played by, and they're all different people. They're not all the same person.
Right.
You know, so it's not to say that this guy isn't, you know.
We'll see what happens. Well, we've got to wrap this up. We're running out of time today. Matt's got to run with the wifey, because she's got to go to work, you know.
That's right. She's
got the chain attached to his leg right now, but that's okay.
I'm holding it down.
That's right. man, that was a good show, I feel. I hope y'all enjoyed listening to it. A lot of good talk today. And we've got, coming up in a couple weeks, our Batman episode. It's Batman vs. Superman month in March, as we get ready for Batman v. Superman Dawn of Justice. So part one will be Batman. We rank the Batman films and what we think about Batman throughout history. Part two will be versus Superman, as we talk Superman and his films throughout history. And then part three, we're going to get together and talk about the new film and who wins between Batman v Superman.
And hopefully we will all get to see it.
Yeah, that's coming up on the Rebel Radio Podcast in the next month, in another episode of Rebel Radio Classics. Should be coming out next month too. And so we, you know, follow us. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com is where you find the home of the Rebel Radio Podcast and the Warp Cave, done by our friend Evil Dr. Tran, who Matt just did a show with, so look for that this week. And follow us on Twitter, subscribe on iTunes, all that good stuff. Thank you guys for listening. This has been
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
Your host with the Jedi toast. Powers toast. Of toast. Mark, thanks for listening. Until next time, same bat time, same bat channel. I should have saved that for the Batman episode. I don't know.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?